last meal that Jesus shared with the disciples before he was crucified, he told them something that they probably didn't understand or they hadn't really experienced yet. When he said, "I have told you all this so that you will have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." You know, truer words were never spoken, right? You know, in this world, you will have many trials and sorrows. You know, when we were younger men and women, you know, that probably just didn't, you know, our biggest trial and sorrow was probably not getting asked out on a date or our girlfriend dropping us. You know, that was probably it, but that was big. I'm not saying that wasn't a big thing. But, you know, as life goes on, none of us are exempt from the many trials and sorrows that life will bring our way. Devastating trials and sorrows. And Jesus tells them, you know, but take heart because I have overcome the world. They couldn't even understand that one. Yeah, right, okay, I don't know what that means, but Jesus is about to say, you know, pretty soon you're really going to see that. You're really going to experience the fact that in spite of devastation, I have the ability to take you through it and overcome those things. And so as trials, devastation comes our way in so many different forms, doesn't it? Struggling marriages, battling illnesses, chronic pain, loneliness, children who are in difficult places in their lives, addiction, financial catastrophe, lost battles, lost spouses, lost children, lost careers, lost hope. You know, we see it when we come to church on Sundays. You know, how many times have you turned around and you've seen someone sitting in their chair quietly with just tears running down their face? You're having a hard time. And, you know, it's just nice to know that Jesus didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. You know, Isaiah tells us about Jesus. He said he was a man, well, he says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic in his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief." I like the way that this translation says it wasn't just he was acquainted with grief. Well, yeah, I know Jesus. You know, he was acquainted with deepest grief. And that's just part of what attracts me to Jesus. You know, isn't that what attracts you to him? Is that he was a person that went through deepest difficulties and struggles, and yet, you know, look at who he is and what he became. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says, "While he lived on the earth, anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him." You know, the question I ask myself sometimes is what am I going to do with trials and sorrows? Or what are my trials and sorrows going to do with me? What am I going to do with this? You know, it's just cool to think about Jesus as having learned something. You think, well, how can a perfect person learn anything? You know, how can the Son of God learn something? I mean, you know, how can he be the Son of God and have to learn something? Well, you know, the Bible says he had to learn some things. You know, there's one thing to know it. Well, I know, Jesus, you're going to overcome the world. Yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. And then there's learning that. There's going through those situations where life as you know it ends. Where a blow is struck that is fatal. And yet, in that situation that Jesus grappled with, he learned trusting obedience. Jesus was, you know, and we're all, he was a learner, we're learners, right? He says he learned obedience from the things that we suffer just as we do. That's great. And then having become something as a result of that. In Luke chapter 22, accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upper room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives, where he told them, "Pray that you will not give in to temptation." They didn't know what was about to happen, really, did they? Even though he had told them, he knew exactly what was going to happen. And he says, pray that you will not give in to temptation. Temptation to what? To run? I still got time. There's a big tree over here I can hide behind. Maybe they won't find me. To quit? To change horses? To take a different route? Lord, you know, can't we do this a different way? The temptation to hide, to medicate, to do whatever we're tempted to do when things are coming on us. Jesus said, you know, pray that you won't fall into temptation. Because, guys, I'm really being tempted right now. Temptation is on me like a, you know what. And he prayed and he prayed and he came out on the other side. To learn to trust God in spite of our circumstances or what life has brought our way is just such a great, huge lesson. And it's great not only to learn that from Jesus, but isn't that great to be able to learn that from each other? You know, aren't you grateful to have a family like Cornerstone? Where we don't just show up on Sunday and see each other and shake hands and go, yeah, I wonder what that guy's name is, or, you know, what's really going on with them, but that we have a fellowship where we do bear each other's burdens. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep, and we witness such incredible faith. Such continued trusting obedience. That even though whatever has happened has happened, that brother or sister is here. They're here. You know, you talk about the cloud of witnesses that are observing our lives, you know, in Hebrews 12. You know, we've got this great cloud of witnesses that are just watching and cheering us on. You know, isn't it nice to live in the cloud? You know, we're just in the cloud. And we've got these witnesses that are just cheering us on. I know whatever you've been through is hard. It's so hard. But I am so inspired by your trusting obedience. And how did we learn to trust and obey? Well, Jesus was the guy who did it first for us, right? It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. We're running the same race. You know, he wasn't on an easier track than me. He'd be, "Oh, come on, guys, follow me." He said, "We're on the same lane. We're on the same track. We're running the same race." Jesus began and finished the race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Go over that story again, but then go over that story. And go over that story. And go over that story. There are so many stories that we can go over, and we can see people that maybe for weeks or months or years struggle, but they kept trusting and obeying. Go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we have